This week's parsha is Parshas Vayetze, and our shir will focus on the birth of Dina, but since we are going to mention Dina, we'll have to mention how that all came about, and we are going to give a quick synopsis of the parsha. In this parsha, Yaakov Avinu has to run away from home. He gets to the house of Lavan. He sees Rachel Imenu, and he loves her, and he decides to work 7 years for the hand of Rachel. After 7 years, he comes to Lavan and asks him for Rachel. Lavan switches and gives Leah instead of Rachel. Yaakov Avinu complains. Lavan agrees to give Rachel also, but on the condition that Yaakov works another 7 years. Yaakov agrees to that. In other words, Yaakov married Leah and Rachel 1 week apart. And then the Torah tells you that Hashem saw that Leah was hated, and Hashem opened her womb, and she had 4 children, Reuven, Shimon, Levi, and Yehuda. And afterwards, she stopped having children. Rachel sees that she doesn't have any children. She gives Bilhah, her maidservant, to Yaakov, and Yaakov has 2 children, Dan and Naphtali, with Bilhah. Leah sees what Rachel did, and she decides to give her maidservant Zilpah to Yaakov, and Yaakov marries her, and he has 2 children, Gad and Asher. After that, we have the story of the Dudaim. The story is that Reuven goes in the days of the cutting of the wheat, and he finds Dudaim in the field, and he brings this Dudaim to his mother Leah. There is a disagreement what the Dudaim are. Either they are barley, or they are violets, or they are a kind of grass, or they are figs. But nonetheless, they are something that brings desire between husband and wife, or that brings fertility to the woman. Rachel Imenu asks Leah to give some of the Dudaim of her son for her. Leah becomes upset, and she says, "Not enough that you took my husband, you want to take from the Dudaim of my son." Rachel Imenu says that in exchange of the Dudaim, Yaakov Avinu will remain that night with Leah. Leah agrees to that deal. The pasuk continues and describes that when Yaakov was coming home that evening, Leah went out to him and said, "Eli Tavoy, come to me, because I hired you for the Dudaim of my son." Yaakov Avinu goes to Leah that night. The pasuk continues that Hashem listened to Leah, and she became pregnant, and she bore a 5th child to Yaakov. She named that child Issachar, with 2 sins. She became pregnant again, and she bore a 6th child to Yaakov, and she named them Zevulun. And on Pasuk 21 says, Ve'achar Yoldovaz, and afterwards she gave birth to a daughter, Vatikra Shma Dina, and she called the daughter Dina. The first point that we have to make is that by Dina it is not written that she got pregnant and she gave birth. Because it is not written Vatar Vatelet, she got pregnant and she gave birth, as it is written by the birth of all the other children, Devin Ezra explains that Dina was a twin to Zvon, meaning that there was no separate pregnancy for Dina. She was in one pregnancy with Zvon. And that is also the opinion of the Radak and the opinion of the Chizkuni, that Dina was a twin to Zvon. But the simple interpretation is the interpretation that Rashi brings down, that she called the name Dina, and that is in the Gemara in Brachas Daf Samach Omed Aleph, where the Gemara there says that Leah Imenu made Din Be'atzma, made justice within herself, meaning that she knew prophetically that Yaakov Avinu was supposed to have 12 children. As a matter of fact, the Medrash Rabbah Parsha Samaches, Simen Yud Gimel, in the beginning of the Parsha, says Rav Yehuda Omer, Rav Yehuda says, Yud Beis Avodim Notal, that Yaakov Avinu, when he took the stones to put around his head, as soon as he got to the holy place, he took 12 stones. Omar, Yaakov Avinu says, Kach goz HaKadosh Baruch Hu Shomamit Yud Beis Shvatim, that Hashem decreed already that 12 tribes are supposed to come out. Avram Loi Hamidom, Avram did not manage to establish them. Yitzchak Loi Hamidom, Yitzchak did not merit to establish them. Ani, me, imisachois, hein, yubeis avonim zulezu, if all 12 stones unite to become one, yodeyani, then I know, shani mamit yudbeis shvatim, that I'm the one that's going to establish 12 tribes. As a side note, Mefarshim explained that Yaakov Avinu didn't care how many children he's going to make. All he cared is to see if the children are able to unite, that if he's going to have 12 children, they shouldn't be totally separate, even though each child has its own character. But the fact that they all united in order for Yaakov Avinu to be able to put his head over them, in other words, they united for a mitzvah, for the greater goal, which is service of Hashem, then Yaakov Avinu realized that he is the one that is going to merit to have the 12 tribes. We see nonetheless that it is already predicted previously that Yaakov Avinu was going to have 12 children equal to the 12 tribes. Then Leah also knew that Yaakov Avinu is supposed to have 12 children. She already had 6. The maidens, each one had 2. That makes it 10. Rachel didn't have any children yet. And Leah realized that if she has another male child, that Rachel Imenu won't even have as many as the maidens. Therefore, she prayed to Hashem, and Hashem changed the sex of the baby from a male to a female. Therefore, it's called Dina. Rabbeinu Ephraim explains that that is the reason why it's not written she got pregnant, that she gave birth, because she got pregnant originally with a male child, and she gave birth to a female child. Therefore, it's not written that she got pregnant and she gave birth, but not necessarily that she was a twin to Zvon. It is interesting to note that this Gemara is also a Medrash Tanchuma in this week's Parsha Simon Ches, but the Medrash continues with an interesting statement. The Medrash continues and says, V'lama kara Leia Dina? Why did Leia call her child Dina? Not because she did justice on herself, like the Gemara says. Lefish amda Leia tzadekes bedin lifnei HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That Leia, the tzadekes, this argument that the Gemara brings, she brought in front of Hashem. Amar lo HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Hashem says, At Rachmanis, you are merciful, meaning all you're doing is because you care about your sister Rachel. Vafani meracham aleyo. Because you are merciful on your sister, I'm also going to be merciful on her. Miyad, because of that, Vayizkor Elokim es Rachel, Hashem remembered Rachel. Meaning that the next pasuk says, Vayizkor Elokim es Rachel, Hashem remembered Rachel. And she got pregnant and she had Yosef. And this is a direct consequence of Leah calling her daughter Dina, or Leah coming to court and praying and demanding that Hashem give children to Rachel, so Rachel shouldn't be worse than the handmaidens. Therefore, right after Dina's name, it's written that Hashem remembered Rachel and Yosef was born. This Medrash teaches you 2 important lessons. One, that even though we are sure that Rachel Imenu was praying for herself all the time, and we are sure that Yaakov Avinu was probably praying for Rachel Imenu too, but Hashem did not answer the prayers until Leah prayed for her. Meaning that even though there are people praying already for you, you should make sure that you tell your worry to somebody else. Like that, somebody else will pray for you too, and his prayer may be answered. And that could be pshat on the pasuk, which the Gemara brings down on Sanhedrin Daf Kof Amud Beis 100b, analyzing the pasuk in Mishle, in Proverbs chapter 12, pasuk 25, where there it says the ago belev ish yashcheno, that if anxiety, worry in the heart of a man, you should squash it. But the Gemara gives a different interpretation. The Gemara gives one interpretation, chadomar yesicheno lacherim, that you should tell other people about your worries. And the Marsho explains that this is a practical advice, that by you telling other people your worries, maybe somebody will come up with a solution and you'll be able to act on that worry. The Sfasemes gives a different interpretation, that by you telling other people your worries, then the people you tell will be distressed and Hashem may eliminate the trouble because Hashem doesn't want that person to be distressed, meaning that by you telling other people what's happening to you and what ails you, what worries you, what troubles you, then that person is going to become troubled and Hashem is going to remove, not because you deserve to have that thing removed, only because Hashem doesn't want that person you told to be pained by your ailment. Therefore Hashem will heal you or take away your worry, not because you, not in your merit, but in the merit of the person that is pained or worried. And that is the reason why we should tell a tzaddik about our worries, because for sure Hashem doesn't want the tzaddik to be troubled, and Hashem wants to take away the pain from the tzaddik. Consequently, that means that your pain will be removed. But according to this medrash, we could say a simple answer why you should tell your worries and your troubles to somebody else. Because it could be simply that that person's prayer will be answered. As we see, Yaakov Avinu and Rachel Imenu prayed and Hashem did not answer. But as soon as Leah Imenu prays, Hashem answers her prayers. Therefore, you should tell as many people about your worries and troubles and ailment, because they will pray for you. And once they pray for you, their prayers may be answered. The second lesson we could learn from this medrash is that only Leah could pray for Rachel, meaning that there is a pasuk in Parshas Mishpatim on chapter 22 of Shmos, pasuk number 22. There the Torah is telling us that we have to be very careful not to tease, not to cause pain to orphans and widows. And the pasuk says, "Imanoi tane oisoi," if you are going to afflict the orphan and the widow, "ki imtzoik itzak elai," and he'll cry to me, "shomeya eshme sakosoi," I will surely hear his cry and I will punish you. And the Yalkut Shimoni in Remes Shin Mem Tes says that this pasuk doesn't mean to say that Hashem will only punish you if the orphan or the widow screams to Hashem. That in truth Hashem will punish as soon as they will have pain. But if they scream, then Hashem won't wait even a second and will punish you right away as soon as he screams. Comes out that even if the orphan and the widow do not scream, but they just feel the pain, Hashem already punishes you. And not only that, Tosfos in Rosh Hashanah, Daf Yud Zayin Amud Beis in the Agah, brings in the name of the Psikta, and to compound the severity of the pain for the orphan or somebody who is downtrodden, Tosfos in Rosh Hashanah, Daf Yud Zayin Amud Beis brings in the Agah, in the name of the Psikta, that Hashem answers the prayer of the downtrodden, even if he's asking Shaloi Kedin, even if it's asking when he is not right, Hashem still will answer his prayer because of his pain. Meaning that if an orphan feels the pain that somebody did something bad to him, even though in truth you didn't do anything bad to him, or you are right by doing this bad thing to him, nonetheless, if he prays, Hashem right away answers his prayer. And the Ramban says regarding the pasuk on chapter 29 of Bereshis, pasuk 31, where the pasuk says, "Vayara Hashem kisnua Leah," Hashem saw that Leah is hated. "Vayiftach es rachma," Hashem opened up her womb. "Varachel akora," and Rachel is barren. and Hashem gave a child to Leah. The Ramban explains that we can't take the pasuk literally, chas v'sholom, that Yaakov or Rachel hated Leah. We can say that Yaakov hated Leah because the previous pasuk on pasuk 30, it says vayev gam es Rachel meleya, that he loved also Rachel from Leah, which means that he loved Rachel, but he also loved Leah. And the Ramban and the Klal Yakor explain that the pasuk means to say that Yaakov loved Rachel more than Leah. And because Yaakov loved Rachel more than Leah, and he showed more affection to Rachel than Leah, therefore Leah felt like she is hated, even though she wasn't really hated, but nonetheless she felt that she was hated. And following that directive, that Hashem helps the one that is downtrodden, since Leah felt that she is hated, therefore Hashem answered her prayers and opened up her womb. And the pasuk continues, and that is the reason why Rachel akara, why Rachel is barren, meaning that we are sure that Leah did not ask Hashem that Rachel should be barren. But Hashem answers the prayers of the downtrodden even before he prays to Hashem. Therefore, Rachel is going to remain barren until actually Leah, which is the one that was aggrieved, which is the one that Hashem protected, until she prays for Rachel, Rachel remains without children. Hashem was waiting until Leah says that I forgive my sister and I want my sister to have a child. Then and only then Hashem decides that it's time for Rachel to have a child. Up to this point, Hashem wasn't going to give her a child. But as soon as Dinah was born and Leah forgave, because Leah prayed that Rachel should have two sons, and only after she prays, Hashem decided to open up the womb of Rachel and give Rachel a son. And from here we learn an important lesson, that as we go through life, a lot of times we may pain somebody that we have no idea how we did it. And since we don't know how we insulted somebody, we may think that we not required to ask their forgiveness. Or a lot of times you do something and you know what happened, but you were right in doing it. And you don't care if somebody is insulted or somebody is hurt. But we see clearly that we are required to ask their forgiveness because we never know the consequences of Hashem's answering their pain and their hidden prayers or their hidden intent. And that could hinder your livelihood, your health, or any successes that you have in your life. Therefore, we should try to ask forgiveness, because the worst it could happen is that you are increasing ahava, love, achdus, unity, and shalom and peace within the Jewish people. We see from this medrash clearly that Rachel Imenu could not have children until Leah prayed for it, even though Rachel loved Leah, because Rachel is the one that gave her the simanim. She did everything for her. But nonetheless, since Leah felt slighted afterwards, Hashem saw the pain of Leah, and Hashem kept Rachel barren because of Leah. And that only changed when Leah prayed for her. Therefore, we have to make sure that we ask forgiveness from anybody that we even have doubts if we pain them or not, and even if we are right. According to the interpretation of the Gemara and of Rashi, that Dinah originally was supposed to be a boy, but Leah's prayer that she be changed from a boy to a girl and Hashem answering her, Sefer Rechove Sanor and Sefer Lechem Aviraim answer the question that Rashi asks. The pasuk on chapter 34, pasuk number 1, there it says, Vateitze Dinah bat Leah, that Dinah, the daughter of Leah, Sheyodol Yaakov, that was born to Yaakov, went out, Lirois Bifnois Ores, to take a look over the girls of the land. Meaning that Dinah went out to see what is going on, and because she went out, Shechem was able to see her, and Shechem eventually rapes her, and eventually the whole story about the destruction of Shechem. But Rashi is bothered by the language of the Pasuk. The Pasuk says, Vateitzeh Dinah bat Leah, that Dinah, the daughter of Leah, went out. Rashi asks a question, V'loi bas Yaakov, she is not considered bas Yaakov, and Rashi says that Al-Shem Yetziyasa Nikra bas Leah, because she went out, therefore she is called the daughter of Leah. Shafi Yatzon Yisayisa, because Leah also went out, Shenemar, because it's written in chapter 30, Pasuk number 16, that when Leah gave the Dodoim to Rachel, she went out to Yaakov, Vateitze Leah Likrasoi, Leah went out to meet them, and then she says, Eli Savoy, come to me. We see from here that she had the character of going out because she went out to greet Yaakov, and her daughter also had the character of going out. Therefore, it's written, Vateitze Dina bat Leah, Dina, the daughter of Leah, went out because she inherited the character of her mother of being a person that goes out. There are a few questions on this Rashi. Number one, just because Leah went out once doesn't mean necessarily that she has the character of going out. And also, how do you know that she inherited the character of going out from Leah? Maybe she inherited the character of going out from Yaakov, because Parshas Vayetze starts, Vayetze Yaakov mi Be'er Sheva. Yaakov went out from Be'er Sheva. Maybe the character of going out comes out from Yaakov's going out from his father's house. Then what is the comparison Dinah to Leah? If you are going to tell me that she went out in order to have relations and Dinah also went out in order to have relations, how can you compare both? Leah went out l'shem mitzvah because she desired to have relations with a tzaddik, but Dinah, we don't see her going out in order to have relations if a tzaddik, then how can you compare both Dinah to Leah? Then the question, how come it's written, Vateitzeh Dinah bat Leah, is back. How come it's not written, Vateitzeh Dinah bas Yaakov? Therefore, Sefer Rechovos HaNoar and Sefer Lechem Aviraim give a different interpretation why it's called bas Leah, why she's called the daughter of Leah. And they explain that the Gemara brings down by the Pasuk on Parshas Kiseitze, chapter 23, Pasuk number 4, Lo Yavoy Amoini Moavi Bikal Hashem, that the Ammonite and Moavite cannot enter the congregation of Hashem. And the reason they cannot enter is written in Pasuk number 5, Al Dvar Shoel Kidmu Eschem Belechem Uvamayim Baderech Betzeischem Mitzrayim, because they did not greet you with bread and water on the road when you were leaving Egypt. And the Gemara in Yevamos, Daf Ayin Vav Omed Beis 76b learns from the fact that it's written Amoini Imoyavi, it's written in the masculine Ammonite and Moavite, that only the males Amoini Imoavi are prohibited to enter the congregation of Hashem, but female Amoinis and Moavis are allowed to enter the congregation of Hashem. And the Gemara asks why. The Gemara says because the Torah gives you the reason. And since the reason is that they did not greet you with bread and water, the Gemara says, Darko shel ish lekadem, veloy darko shel isha lekadem, that only the way of a man is to go out and greet with bread and water. But a woman is not required to go out and greet with bread and water, since the women did not transgress, the Gemara says, therefore, the women are allowed to enter the congregation of Hashem. But nonetheless, we see from that Gemara that there is a difference between the characteristic of men and the characteristics of women. That men have a characteristic that they go out, they like to go outside, and women have the characteristic to stay inside. And since the Gemara says that Dinah was originally supposed to be a boy, meaning that as soon as Leah became pregnant, she was pregnant with a boy, and only due to her prayer, that boy changed to be a girl. Sefer Lechem Aviraim and Rechovos HaNoar say that this is why it's written Bas Leah and not Bas Yaakov, because Leah is the one that's responsible for this girl to be outgoing, meaning since this girl was originally supposed to be a boy, meaning while she was a fetus, she had the characteristics of a boy, and then the sex of that fetus changed to a girl, but after it changed, he still had inner characteristics, and the inner characteristic of this girl was of a boy, and a boy's characteristic is to go out. Therefore, Dina went out. Comes out that Leia is directly responsible for Dina going out. Had Dina been a normal girl, then she would have been called Bas Yaakov, because she would have the characteristics of staying home. But since the fault of this girl wanting to go out lay in the hands of Leia, because Leia prayed that the sex of the baby should change from a boy to a girl, therefore the Torah is telling you that the consequence of Leia's prayer was Vateitze Dina Bas Leia, the Dina, the daughter of Leia, the daughter that Leia prayed to change from a girl to a boy, went out, and not Bat Yaakov, and not the daughter of Yaakov. I wanted to use the answer of Sefer Rechoves HaNor and Lechem Aviraim and explain that this is exactly what Rashi had in mind. I wanted to say that what Rashi means to say, Bevateitze Dina Bas Leia, why is it written Bas Leia and not Bas Yaakov? And Rashi says, because she went out, because it's written by the Pasuk, by Leia, Vateitze Leia Likrosoi, that Leia went outside to greet Yaakov. And that is referring to the Dudoim, that we see that Leia went out, and we ask a question, what does it mean, just going out? How can you compare both going out? I wanted to say that Rashi's words are much deeper, and Rashi's words are based on the Medrash Rabbah on this week, Parsha Ayin Beis, Siman Beis, where there the Medrash says, Omar Rabbi Lazar says, Zu efsida vezu efsida, this one lost and this one lost, Zu nistakra vezu nistakra, and this one gained and this one gained, Leia efsida dudoim, Leia lost the dudoim, venistakra shnei shvotim ubechoira, and she received two tribes, and bechoira meaning being the one primary in the house, that she had six children. V'Rachel nistakro didoim, Rachel gained the dudoim, v'ifsido shvotim b'choira, and she lost the tribes and the b'choira. Rav Shmuel Bar Nachman says the same thing. Zuv su didoim, Leah lost the dudoim because she gave it to Rachel, v'nistakro shvotim ukvuroimoi, and she gained the tribes, and she also gained to be buried in Maras Machpela. Rachel nistakro dudoim, Rachel gained the dudoim, v'ifsido shvotim ukvorois, but she lost the tribes and burial in Maras HaMachpelah, in the Machpelah cave. As Rashi brings down on Pasuk number 15, where it says, Lochein Yishkav Imcha Lailo, therefore he should lie with you tonight. Rashi says, Elefish Zilzala B'mishkav HaTzadik, because she belittled lying with the Tzadik, with the righteous person Yaakov, meaning spending the night with him. Lo Yizachso Leikover Imoy, she did not merit, or she was not privileged to be buried with Yaakov Avinu. Basically, this Medrash is saying that each one gained something and each one lost something. There was Dudoim in one side, and children, and burial in Maras HaMachpelah, and being the main matriarch in the other side. Rachel decided to take the Dudoim, therefore she lost the children, and she lost burial in Maras HaMachpelah, and she lost being the primary wife. Leah gave up the Dudoim, because she gave up the Dudoim, therefore she merited to have children, and she merited to be buried in Maras HaMachpelah, and she merited to be the primary wife. Comes out that a direct consequence of losing the Dudoim was the fact that she had more children, meaning that after the fourth child, Yehuda, the Pasuk says, Vatamoid Miledes, she stopped having children, meaning Hashem decided that Hashem is not going to give her any more children. But then Hashem saw that she's willing to give up the Dudoim in order to have children, that she wants so much to have children. Hashem decided that Hashem is going to give her more children. In truth, Hashem gave her three more boys. But when it came time for the third boy, Leah prayed that that boy should not be a boy and should be a girl. But in theory, she was supposed to get three more boys. And that all came because of the Dudaim. Because if she wouldn't have the Dudaim, then she wouldn't have any more children. Comes out that a direct reason of the changing of the sex for Dina was the fact of the Dudaim. The fact that Leah switched the Dudaim, therefore she was able to get more children. And as a direct consequence, the third child was a male and she had to pray for it to be changed for a female. Comes out that a direct reason for Dina being Bas Leah is Vateitze Leah Likrosoi, the fact that Leah went that night and had relations with Yaakov because of the Dudaim, that is a direct consequence for Dina having a male character. Therefore, I wanted to say, that's why it's written, Vateitze Dina Bas Leah, the daughter of Leah, because Leah is the direct consequence for Dina being born. How do I know that? Because she was a Yatzanit. Because we see before on Pasuk number 16 that when Yaakov came from the field at night, Vateitze Leah Likrosoi, Leah went out to greet him. And because she went out to greet him, as the Midrash says, that's the only reason she merited to have more children, more tribes. And because she merited to have more tribes, she had a third child, which was a boy, and she needed to pray for it to become a girl. Because of that, she became a Yatzanit. Dina became a girl that goes out. Sefer Eliyahu Kitoiv bring this Midrash that we just mentioned, and he asks a very strong question, meaning that the Midrash says that this one gained and this one gained, this one lost and this one lost, meaning that Rachel Imenu gained the Dudaim, but she lost children and she lost the right to be buried in Maras HaMachpelah, and she also lost the right to be called the main wife. Leah Imenu, she gained children, Maras HaMachpelah, and the right to be called the main wife, and she lost the Dudaim. He asks, let's say somebody has a diamond worth $1 million, and he decides to trade this diamond for $100. Would you say that he gained the $100 or that he lost the diamond? Obviously, we are going to say that he lost the diamond. Therefore, the question is, since in one side we have children, the right to be buried and the right to be called the main wife, and in the other side we have Dudaim, how can the Midrash say that Rachel gained the Dudaim and she lost the other three things, and Leah gained these three things and lost the Dudaim? How can you say that Rachel gained the Dudaim when she lost so much? It's like saying you gained $100 and you lost $1 million. Plus, the person who gained the $1 million, which is the children, burial, Maras HaMachpelah, and the right to be called main wife, she didn't lose anything. She didn't lose the $100, she got a metziah. So actually, she didn't lose anything. Then how can they say that she lost the Dudaim? What do the rabbis mean by saying that Leah lost the Dudaim when she gained so much in the other side? Her loss seems to be nothing compared to what she gained. Plus, he says that if the Dudaim's purpose is because it's aphrodisiac and it helps fertility, or it brings husband and wife closer and causes you to have children, then the Dudaim did not work at all, because only after Leah has Issachar, Zvul, and Dina, that is when Rachel gets pregnant. Comes out that at least 2 years later, Rachel is still not pregnant. Then obviously the Dudaim did not work. If the Dudaim did not work, how can the rabbi say that she gained the Dudaim when the Dudaim did not work at all? They didn't have any effect. Then Sefer Eliyahu Kitov asks another question. Pasuk 14 starts, Vayelech Reuven b'mek sirchitim. Reuven went in the days of harvesting the wheat. Va'imtzo Dudaim basada, and he found Dudaim in the field. Va'yavoy oisam el Leah imoy, and he brought this Dudaim to Leah, his mother. Rashi explains, why is the Torah telling me that this happened in the days of harvesting the wheat? What difference is it when it happened? Rashi says, Lahagit Shvochim Shol Shvotim, to tell you the praise of the tribes, She'esa Kutzer Hayu, that it was the days of the harvest, V'reposhot Yodo Begezel, and he did not steal anything, that Reuven went specifically in the days of harvesting of the wheat, where at that point the Dudoim are ownerless, and that's the only time that he went to get the Dudoim, and he brought the Dudoim to his mother. Sefer Eliyahu Kitoiv asks, what is the great Chiddush that the Shvatim did not steal? The Torah has to tell me that the Shvatim do not steal? What is the great Chiddush? Why does the Torah have to tell me that they do not steal? And I'm going to ask another question regarding the character of Leah and the character of Rachel. Meaning, Rachel goes to Leah after Leah gets the Dudoim, and she asks, please give me from the Dudoim of your son. Leah right away gets angry, and she says, isn't it enough that you took my husband? You want also to take the Dudoim of my son? Meaning, what chutzpah do you have to ask me for the Dudoim? If I were Rachel, I would answer Leah, you know what chutzpah I have, because if not for me, you wouldn't even have a husband. I'm the one who gave you the simanim before you got married, because originally Yaakov and me made simanim that Yaakov will know that is me. When I saw that our father Lavan is bringing you in the chuppah instead of me, I realized that you will be embarrassed, and I gave you then the simanim, and now I ask you for flowers. You said that I took your husband? You took my husband away. But Rachel doesn't say anything, and Rachel says, therefore, he will be with you this night. And the other question is, I understand Rachel's character, but where is the Hakaras HaToiv of Leah? We know that the whole world was created that we should have Hakaras HaToiv, that Hashem wanted to give us everything, but in return, all he wants us is to say thank you to him. Therefore, the whole world is created for Hakaras HaToiv. Recognize the good somebody does to you, and we should be thankful for somebody doing you something good. And here we have our matriarch Leah almost reneging the goodness that Rachel did to her. Therefore, certain Mefarshim explain that the simanim that Yaakov gave Rachel are the mitzvahs that a woman is supposed to keep. And they are the acronym of Chana, meaning Chala, the mitzvah to make Chala and to take a portion and give it to the Kohen, Nida, the loss of family purity, and Hadlakas Haneir, that on Friday nights you are supposed to light the candles. Those are the mitzvahs that Yaakov taught Rachel, and those were supposed to be the simanim, and Rachel, being the tzaddikas that she is, did not tell Leah that these are signs between her and Yaakov. She just taught her those mitzvahs. She just said that Yaakov taught her those mitzvahs. Like that, Leah knew about those mitzvahs. Also, it's important to know that the negotiations to work 7 years for the hand of Rachel was not done in the presence of Leah. It was done directly with Lavan. Maybe Leah did not have any knowledge of these negotiations, and Leah may have thought that Yaakov Avinu is working 7 years for her hand, for her to be married after 7 years with Yaakov. Therefore, after the 7 years, when her father takes her to the chuppah, Leah doesn't suspect anything. Leah really thinks that she is the wife that Yaakov worked for. And then Yaakov happens to ask her about the simanim, about the laws of Chala, the laws of Nida, the laws of Hadlakas Haner, and Leah knew them because Rachel nonchalantly taught her those mitzvahs, not because it was a sign between them, because she thought Yaakov wants to know if she knows those mitzvahs. It happens that Rachel had taught her, and she answered to Yaakov that she knows those mitzvahs, and she explained, or the test that they had to find out if Shiri knows those mitzvahs. Comes in the morning, Yaakov sees that it's Leah. Yaakov gets very upset, but he doesn't go to Leah and say that I'm upset at you. He goes to Lavan. What did you do to me? How did you switch my wife? Lavan says it's not proper for us to give the younger before the older. You should wait a week and we will give you Rachel if you work another 7 years. But Yaakov, at least in the Pasuk, does not say anything to Leah regarding the switch. True that the Midrash brings conversations that they had, but in the Pasuk, it clearly does not bring any conversation that Yaakov had with Leah regarding the switch. After a week, Leah sees that Yaakov is marrying Rachel. Leah is very upset at Rachel. Look, what business do you have marrying my husband? Yaakov is my husband, not your husband. And then Leah actually sees that Yaakov loves Rachel more than Leah. Now Leah is really upset and she really feels like she is hated. Look, my husband married me. A week later, he marries another woman and treats the other woman better than he treats me. No wonder Leah felt senua, she felt hated. Now it comes the time of the Dudaim. Rachel asks for the Dudaim. Leah has all this anger inside her. Leah says, not enough that you took my husband, you want to take the Dudaim. True that Rachel could have told her what happened all the while, but Rachel is a tzedekes and she keeps her pain and she keeps her chesed hidden and she doesn't tell her anything. And she tells her, therefore, you will have this night with Yaakov. Sefer Eliyahu Kitov explains, why did Rachel want the Dudaim? What's so special about the Dudaim? He says that the Dudaim came to rectify the sin of Adam. Meaning, when Hashem created the world, Hashem put Adam and Chava in Gan Eden. And Hashem said to Adam that he could eat from any fruit of the garden but one, the fruit from the tree of knowledge, from the Eitz Hadas, he is not allowed to eat. And Adam went ahead and ate from the fruit of the garden. Comes out that the sin of Adam was really stealing, that Adam misappropriated something that it was not his. Hashem gave him permission to eat anything else that he did not take. The only thing that he wanted to take is something that doesn't belong to him, and that is the Eitz Hadas, the tree of knowledge. In contrast, Reuven, according to Eliyahu Kitoiv, was a child which was 4 years old, and in Reuven's house, in Yaakov's house, there was probably very little food to eat because Yaakov worked all his time for the marriage of Rachel and Leah, because this was still in the second 7 years that Yaakov agreed to work for Rachel. Therefore, Yaakov did not have time to make himself a parnasa. Yaakov and his family only ate from the scraps, from the little that Lavan saw fit to give them. And here, Reuven goes, b'mek sirchitim, when they're clotting the wheat, where he could pick up some wheat for his family. But what does he go to pick? He picks only dudaim. He picks only these dudaim, which are ownerless, and he brings them to his mother, the shemitzvah. He doesn't even take for himself anything. He brings them totally for his mother, for kibbut av va'em. Rachel, as soon as she saw the deeds of Reuven, she received a great nachas from the upbringing that they gave to Reuven, that in Yaakov's house there is no stealing, even though you have nothing to eat at home. And she realized that this dudaim symbolizes an atonement for the sin of Adam. Because of that, Rachel wanted to give the dudaim, which is the fruit that showed that the Shvatim did not steal, that Reuven did not steal, and signified a complete change from the sin of Adam. She wanted to give this as a gift to Yaakov, to give him nachas, to see how well his son behaved. And for that, she was willing to give up the night and the children and burial and being called the main wife, because her main teshuka, her main purpose was that Yaakov, her beloved husband, have happiness and have nachas from his children. As always, Rachel gives up of herself in order to make chesed if somebody else. She thought the greatest joy that Yaakov could have is to see the dudoim of his son Reuven, see that he did not steal, see that this is an atonement for the sin of Adam HaRishon, and see that he merits to have children that will continue in the right path. I wanted to add that maybe her chesed was even greater than we think. As we mentioned, a child inherits the character of his parent. Yaakov may have thought that Leah decided on her own free will to go in the chuppah and take the place of Rachel. Then Leah would have been guilty of stealing Yaakov's time and money, because Yaakov really worked for Rachel and he was cheated and had to work another 7 years. Therefore, when Rachel saw that Reuven brought dudoim, but he brought them from Hefker, from something that is ownerless and is not stone, Rachel realized that this is a great chance to protect my sister Leah and to prove to Yaakov that Leah was not a willing participant in that switch. Because as we mentioned, the child inherits the character of the mother, and Reuven was conceived on that night that Leah went to chuppah instead of Rachel. Because according to Rashi in Parshas Vayechi, on the pasuk Reishis Oini, you are my first vigor, that night that Yaakov had relations with Leah, thinking that she was Rachel, Reuven was conceived, and Reuven did not steal. Reuven has a perfect character, and he does not steal. He only brings dudoim from ownerless property. And this is what Rachel wanted to show Yaakov. And to show this and protect her sister Leah, Rachel was willing to give up all the benefits that would come by having the relationship with Yaakov. Therefore, the Medrash says that Rachel gained the dudoim and she lost the relationship, because that selfless chesed that she did with Leah and with Yaakov, it's more important for Rachel than the children that she potentially may have had, than the burial in Maras HaMachpelah, and better than being called the main wife, because that is the true character of chesed, that you do it without thinking of any reward and without even receiving a thank you. And Hashem Yisbarach should help that we should learn from the character of Rachel and do chesed without asking thank yous. We should do kindness to one another. Like that we'll increase shalom, then we'll have ahavas chinam, love and friendship towards one another. We'll merit to have Moshiach come, Beis HaMikdash rebuild, b'imheira b'yameinu, amen.